Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, at the first sign of dawn, the women came to the tomb bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled back from the tomb, but when they entered the tomb, they didn't find the body of Jesus. While they were still at a loss over what to think of this, two figures in dazzling garments stood beside them. Terrified, the women bowed to the ground. The two said to them, "Why do you search for the living one among the dead? Jesus is not here. Christ has risen. Remember what Jesus said to you while you were still in Galilee, that the chosen one must be delivered into the hands of sinners and be crucified, and on the third day would rise again." With this reminder, the words of Jesus came back to them. When they had returned from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and the others. The women were Mary of Magdala, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James. The other women with them also told the apostles, but the stories seemed like nonsense, and they refused to believe them. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. He stooped down, but he could see nothing but the wrappings. So he went away full of amazement at what had happened. This is a word from our Holy Scriptures. Thanks be to God.
Okay, anybody want to vote? Interpretive dance or sermon? I don't mind dancing. You know that. Lee just asked me a question, and I said to her, I know why I missed everything. The middle of my service order is gone, like about three or four pages. Jesus has risen, and my pages have disappeared. Oh, this morning, for me, long before sunrise, but just before sunrise, some of us got up and got dressed and made our way to the Okotoks Erratic or the Big Rock and celebrated the rising of the sun and the rising of the sun. Only the sun, S-U-N, of course, didn't show up this morning. Yet we still gathered. We still gathered in the chill of early morning in anticipation of Easter, of the message, knowing that even if we didn't see it this morning, the sun will come up. We trust that. We believe that. It always does. As we arrive here on Easter morning, regardless of whether we see the sunrise, there is something about Easter, that swelling of joy and possibility and hope, as we are reminded once again that our Christian story culminates in life, not death. In the promise that the sun will show up again and we can bathe in the warmth and the light and the sun and of Christ the Son. As the women went to the tomb on that first Easter morning, they expected that when they went into the tomb to anoint Jesus' body, that they would just go into this tomb, find an innate body, and they would leave again with their grief and their sorrow and their disappointment and their confusion. Why would you go expecting anything else after somebody has died? They were just expected to be confronted once again with the death of their beloved rabbi and the profound loss that they had experienced. How could you imagine anything else? Who would, after what they had just been through? Their hopes had been dashed, and they couldn't yet imagine what their future would be like. So you can imagine that what they found was completely baffling, a little frightening, and totally unexpected. Here's this dazzling figure, we're told, and they were told that the tomb is empty and that Jesus has risen. What? No one, no one, the women or the disciples that they ran to tell, knew what to think or believe. That's because somehow we as human beings, no matter how much evidence there is to the contrary, somehow we always expect that death is going to have the last word. But it doesn't. It has taken me most of my life to really understand and accept that death will never have the last word in God's story, and that life is actually more certain than death. I'll tell you why, because even the cracks in my front sidewalk, the dandelions come up no matter how hard I have tried to kill them every single year. They still come up. The first signs of life in the spring for me is dandelions that spring up through the cracks. Now, I'm not going to pretend that death and darkness are a reality of life, because they very much are. Always have been. A lot of what happens in life seems so hard and painful and destructive. And we humans somehow seem bent on living a lot of our lives in tombs because we refuse to imagine that there is even a promise of life after death. Yet life has a way of returning again and again, even when we think that death will have the last word. It takes faith to believe in resurrection, to see resurrection, because it doesn't always come as we think it will. After loss and defeat and disappointment, we find it hard to believe that things will change, that life can ever be good again or even better. We get battered so badly by our circumstances that we begin to believe that it's easier to stay safe and stay in the tomb than to dare to move out into the light and imagine something new, something better. And of course, some people don't experience resurrection and don't believe in the idea of resurrection and new life, because secular notions of Easter have won out when it comes to listening or hearing the original Easter story, much like Christmas. Easter bunnies and chocolate eggs, with this celebration focused on spring, has taken over the religious significance for most people in the season. Yet even this is a celebration of hope as we stretch toward new life and the hope of spring. The other day I was driving in here and there was this little calf bounding out in the field, all by itself, no cow around, no mother around, nobody. I could see it in this big field, this little critter bounding out in the field, and all of a sudden it stopped. It's like, where's my mummy? Life shows up. Life shows up. It is our eternal desire and aching need, this desire for new life, even after we have faced the worst. That's why the Easter message is such good news, because in no uncertain terms it tells us that even after death, pain, tragedy, despair, and even hopelessness, that darkness, the tomb, is absolutely not the last word. That after the worst that could happen happens, there's still a possibility of recovery and healing, and this is good news. And this is the story we tell over and over again every Sunday as humans who suffer and survive. We tell it about our own lives, and we tell other people's stories. We tell the world, and we say to each other, don't give up. I know it's tough now, but things can and do change. But first, friends, we have to get out of our tombs. We have to get out of our tombs, come out of our tombs. We need to move through to the healing. Somebody said to me the other day, you know that old kid's song? So high, you can't get over it, so low, you can't get under it, so wide. You gotta go. Yeah, keep going. I can't. We have to go through our pain to the healing, to the new life. We need to let life be what it is, not what we want it to be. And the reality is our dreams and plans about our lives can crumble, but life cannot. Life is always sacred and always present. Writer and theologian Henri Nouwen wrote that the cup of life is the cup of joy as much as it is the cup of sorrow. Sorrows and joys, sadness and gladness, mourning and dancing are never separated. For anyone who has the courage to enter our human sorrows deeply, there is the revelation of joy, hidden like a precious stone in the wall of a dark cave. When we dare to come out of the tomb of our own sorrow and grief, our fear and frustration, something new awaits us. It always does. Perhaps it's not the thing we pray for, even the thing we want, but it is the thing we need often. It's something that brings hope and joy and light back to our lives and back into the world. So we will tell our stories of hope and grace, of pain and healing, of moving on after the tragedies that we have lived through. This is Easter. The sun will rise. We are convinced that resurrection is possible and that death is not the last word. The overall arch of history has always been toward life, even in the darkest times. Even when the worst we can imagine happens. And I'm not naive enough to suggest that there is always a happy ending for every individual, because that would not be true. What we are saying with the Easter story is that despair will never overcome hope, that something new is possible, that the motion of time is always toward life, toward renewal, toward resurrection, even after death. The tomb will not contain life. The world will find a way always to go on. So here's my question for you today. What is the tomb you are encased in? What is buried in your tomb? What needs to come out? Is there something that needs to see light, needs new life, that needs to move toward resurrection? I'm going to give you just a few moments to ponder this, and then I'm going to offer you an invitation. What is in you that needs to come out to the light today? Is there something in you that needs to come out into the light? Something that's been hidden in darkness that needs to be revealed? And are you willing to consider that you will let that out into the light, out of the tomb? Because when we roll back the stone that covers the tomb, Christ will not be there. He's alive and he's here with us. If you are willing to let what is in darkness to come out into the light, there is always a possibility of something new. So, Betty Lou is going to roll back the stone of the tomb. And I'm going to invite anybody who wants to have that symbol of life to come forward and take something out of the tomb. You believe that the light will come, that new life and resurrection is possible. Let's join in singing our communion.